Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be back this year. I'm telling you, it's been a wonderful time, and the preaching has been absolutely out of this world. I am telling you, we've enjoyed a great time together. Thank you all for letting us come again. Amen. Dear Lord, the balconies looks full tonight. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? They must have thought one of y'all was preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. We certainly enjoyed ourselves. Thank you for the motel and the good food and good fellowship, all we've enjoyed. Thank you all so much for that. And just a great spirit in the service. Amen. I'm telling y'all, have preached my hide off. Amen. It's been great preaching. Amen. That's what we need, though, right? Amen. And so thank you all for the great preaching. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, I did not come to preach this message. But anyway, so I had another message nobody had ever heard, I don't think. Amen. But we got back over to the motel room today, and so anyway, we're going to preach on this thought tonight with the Lord's help. It's in the same book that I was preaching from, so if you turn to the book of Ruth, tonight, amen. Ruth chapter number two. I certainly had no idea I'd be preaching this, but anyway, if this don't work out, I should have preached the other one, amen. That's for sure, amen. You preachers ever been there? Amen. I had no idea I'd be preaching from here. Amen. Now, if you hadn't found Ruth after all that long conversation, just act like you got it. Amen. I've told this story before. It really happened up here, brother, up in Monroe at Galilee. I was in a meeting one time. Probably most of you heard it. Amen. I don't have many things to say. I just try to say them in different places. Amen. But I was in a meeting. It was a big meeting. I think it was maybe a morning service, but the church was still very, very full. And I don't know who come up to preach, but he said, turn to the book of Ruth. And the preachers were sitting all around us. Amen. And that was at Galilee Baptist Church back when Brother Griffith used to pastor that. And the preacher said, turn to the book of Ruth. And I'm telling you, my mind went blank. I knew it was in the Old Testament. Amen. And I thought, man, I got to find all these preachers sitting around. I was supposed to be preaching, I think. I was preaching in the meeting, amen, scheduled to preach. And so when they said, turn to the book of Ruth, I could not remember where Ruth was. And so I fanned the Bible, you know what I mean? And I didn't see it when I fanned it. And so I said, Lord, I hate to look it up in the index there. But this is the honest to God truth. And I could hear them thinking around me. Now, he's preaching in this meeting, and he don't know where Ruth is, amen. And finally, I found Ruth, but I am telling you, that was an ordeal there, amen. So I've given you plenty of time. If you haven't found it by now, just forget it, amen. All right, book of Ruth, I know y'all just stood up, but if you're physically able to stand, we'll stand one more time. I don't always do that, but amen. Ruth chapter number two, again, thank y'all for everything, preacher. Dear God, Brother Robert Jarvis and his family in this church is a great, great man of God. You'll never find a better spirit than you find Brother Robert Jarvis and his family. Always so cordial, make you feel so welcome. Amen. I love this dear man of God and his family and the church. Amen. All right, Ruth chapter number two. Let's read in verse number 8, okay? Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not glean into another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by the maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have thou not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knewest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me first find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto evening, and beat out that she had had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she what she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." I want to take my text tonight back in verse number 16. I believe it is in verse number 16. The Bible said in verse number 16, in verse number 14, And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither and eat the bread and dip the morsel." And she sat beside the reapers. Now I want to use that thought tonight to preach on. She sat beside the reapers. I want to preach tonight on sitting with the reapers. Sitting with the reapers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for the good week, the good 2 days we've had, Lord, to be around God's people and to be around preaching and singing and old time, Lord, religion, we might call it. Thank you for that. I was reminded tonight when, Lord, they played and sang. God, my mind was brought back to days of tabernacle and, Lord, the old time sound that, Lord, I used to hear over there. What a blessing that was. Help us now tonight. Lord, we praise you, God, for the opportunity to be here. Pray you do something in the service tonight to encourage us. And for that, we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible said Ruth, amen, sat with the reapers. In verse number 10, the Bible calls her a stranger. She said, "I am a stranger." And we know the story of Ruth. Amen. I won't take a lot of time. She was a Moabite. She was a Gentile dog, so to speak. She was worshiping a false god called Chemosh. Amen. I believe that's the way you pronounce it. And so she was a Moabite, and yet she has been taken out of the land of Moab and brought back to Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. Though a Moabite, yet even so more a widow. She was alone. She was by herself. Her husband had died. And so here she is in somewhat of an awful, awful shape. But yet she has been brought out of Moab and she's now in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise. She was very undeserving. We would all say amen to that. Amen. And yet the Bible said in verse number 14, not only is she in Bethlehem, Judah, not only is she in the house of God and the house of praise and the house of bread, but she's sitting with the reapers. And what an awesome, awesome display of God's grace could get her from Moab to get out of the house of God and the house of prayer and the house of bread, but she is sitting with the reapers. Now, she did that through God's grace. The Bible said in verse number 2, the Bible said, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, Let's now go to the field and glean the ears of corn, in whose sight I shall find grace." She got there because of the grace of God. In verse number 13, the Bible said that God had showed, Boaz had showed favor to her. She got there because of the favor of Boaz. Amen. Verse number 20, the Bible said that they extended mercy to her and kindness to her. So all of this to a Gentile dog that deserved nothing, and yet God had let her come to the house of bread and the house of praise. I think we can see ourselves in that picture. We were nothing but Gentile dogs, but God had mercy on us. Hey, we were nothing but bound for hell and judgment, and yet God showed favor to us. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the kindness of God. Amen. God can take our mistakes and work miracles. God can take our vices and give us victory. God can take our sin and wrought salvation in our life. Now notice this, the Bible said she is sitting with the reapers. The reapers were the one who picked the main crop. They were the ones that went in the field at the main harvest. Amen. And there was plenty there to get. Amen. And she is sitting with those who have brought in the main harvest. In verse number 3, let's look there. Amen. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was the light upon the part of the field belonging to Boaz. So number 1, the Bible said she went after the reapers. She came after the reapers. In verse number 7, the Bible said, she said, "I pray you, let me glean after the reapers." The Bible said in verse number 9, and she said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and thou go after them. So after, she came in after the reapers. I'm headed somewhere if y'all help me now, amen. So here's Ruth, amen, out of Moab, now in the field gleaning, amen, after the reapers. The reapers were the one that got the main harvest. But she's getting a little bit here and a little bit there. But she's picking up, gleaning after the reapers. I'm saying all that to get that in y'all's mind. We see her in her plight in chapter 1. We see her in the providence of God in chapter number 2. But now we see her position. She's sitting with the reapers. Now, when I thought about that, I thought about this. Imagine that girl in the sad shape she was in, out of Moab, not only in Bethlehem, Judah, in the house of bread and the house of praise, but she's sitting down with the reapers. And when I read that some years ago, I thought about that, amen. Imagine sitting with those that have brought in the main harvest. When I began to think about that, I began to think about this. I sat with the reapers. A little nobody from nowhere. I've been able to sit down in the house of God with the reapers. Hallelujah. Now, hey, I'm not a reaper. I'm a gleaner. But I've been able not only to get out of Moab, but I've been able to go to the house of God and sit down with the reapers, the ones that brought in the harvest. All I do is get a little bit there and a little bit here, amen. But I've been privileged to sit with the reapers. Amen and amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, I've sat with the reapers through the scriptures. I picked my Bible up, amen, and I've read about Abraham. In Abraham's faith, God said, because of your faith, your seed will be like the sand on the seashore, and your seed will be like the stars of heaven. Because of his faith, God used Abraham to be a reaper. But I'm not a reaper. But I've sat with them in the scriptures. I've sat with them in the scriptures when I think about Moses. Moses led 2 million people. You think your congregation is big? Moses led 2 million people out of bondage. Hallelujah. Can you imagine having 2 million people? Being in charge of 2 million people, and he got them out of bondage. Hello, y'all help me now. I'm hoping it's going to get better now. Amen. Do you know out of those 2 million, only 2 made it to the promised land? In typology, 2 million got saved, but only 2 got to the promised land. I think that's about our statistics today, amen. Amen and amen. So I've sat with the reapers in the scriptures, with Abraham, with Moses. How about with Peter? Peter backslid on God, denied the Lord, got right with God, preached one sermon, and 3,000 souls got saved. Man, I've been preaching now a long time. I doubt if 3,000 people ever heard me preach. Somebody help me. But I sat down with my Bible and read about Peter, backslid on God, got right with God, preached one sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. I said, hallelujah, what a day that must have been. Then a little bit later, 5,000 got saved. Thousands are being saved with one preacher that got right with God. Amen. I've sat down with the scriptures and read about the Apostle Paul. Amen. And got converts and built churches. Amen. I've been to the very city that Paul went in and preached in Philippi. I've walked on the grounds of Philippi and went to the places that Paul preached in Philippi. He landed down there and I went to that city that he landed in. We come up from that where he landed. We went to the city of Philippi. We went to the place where Lydia got baptized. I've sat down with the Bible and even experienced personally going to the place where Paul preached. And here I am, a little nobody. And Paul is in the Bible, and Paul had thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of converts. And it thrilled my heart to sit down and read in my Bible about these great reapers. But I'm a gleaner. Y'all help me. The gleaners come after the reapers. I've sat down with my Bible, amen, and sat with the reapers through the stories of great men of God. I've read about Carey, the father of modern day missions. My heart was challenged by this great, great man of God and his faith. And as a result of his ministry, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been saved by the grace of God. And I sat down and read that and said, man, I am so insignificant. I am so unworthy. I sat down and read probably the greatest book I personally ever read was Adoniram Judson. And how he went to Burma by faith and preached. And I think, if I remember correctly, for the first 7 years, didn't even have a convert. And yet he stayed faithful to God. Somebody help me now. Yet he kept preaching, amen. And all that he endured, he stayed with God. Amen. And as a result of that, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were swept into the kingdom of God. I've read that story and say, man, I'm over here in St. Stephen. We ain't even hardly got 1,000. Somebody help me. Amen. And the other part that is here, amen, my town I'm in is 75% black. And everywhere I go, they say, you talk like a black man. Well, the town I'm in is black. Y'all want me to talk like a white man? Hallelujah. Our dear brother over here, he understands. Half of y'all don't even understand. Help me, brother. Amen and amen. I was preaching somewhere one time and a lady walked up to me after the service and she said, Brother Willis, I drove an hour or so to get over here to hear you. I never met you and I drove an hour or so to get over here to help you preach. Hear you preach. She said, you white. I said, yes, ma'am, I think so. Had a missionary call me, hung up the phone. Somebody called me up, said, Brother Willis, is so-and-so coming to your church? I said, well, he called and said he was coming. He said he called me and told me he's going to a black church. Is anybody listening? What's your point? I'm just simply saying, hey, I sat with stories of Carey and Judson and these thousands of the people. I sat and read about Whitfield. They said you could hear him preach for 1 mile. He was such a great orator. And I've read about the thousands of people that's been saved through the ministry of George Whitfield. And then you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm literally insignificant, nobody. But I'm telling you, God knows about us. I don't know where God got you, but I'm telling you, wherever you are, God knows where you are. Hallelujah. I read about Mr. Moody. I got a little amused about this. I read about Mr. Moody went to preach one time, and they said it was so many inside that they had to come outside because he couldn't get everybody inside. And so the thought was there was more on the outside than it was on the inside. I said, I've had that problem before. Hallelujah. Did anybody listen? But Mr. Moody, if you go by statistics, they say probably maybe 1 million professions of faith under the ministry of Mr. Moody. Man, I've read that and I've read about his life, amen. And I said, to think that a man was used like that, a million people would say. I read about Billy Sunday. And I even saw some films about Sunday. And they said he literally shook hands with 1 million people. Hey, but Billy Sunday, in the days of Prohibition, Billy Sunday said, we don't need to repeal, we need to repent. Amen. I mean, he preached, friend. I went to Pittsburgh to preach. And I was preaching on the south side of Pittsburgh. And the preacher told me, he said, now, Brother Willis, in the morning, he said, I want to take you and show you where Billy Sunday's tabernacle was. I said, amen. And so we went over there. And of course, the tabernacle is gone. But the grounds, I walked on the grounds where Billy Sunday preached. And so he said, preacher, let me tell you something else. He said, the church that you're preaching in, this is a Methodist church that they took and converted it, and that was an independent Baptist church. And he said, the church that you're preaching in, he said, in the morning services, Billy Sunday would get about 500 or 600 men to come and be in the morning service, and he would preach to them and fire them up for the night service. And he said, then they go into the tabernacle. But he said, the very place you're preaching, almost the very spot you're staying in, Billy Sunday preached from that spot. I said, glory to God, man. And so we headed back to the motel. And I said, well, stop, let's get something to drink. And we stopped and got something to drink. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure it's right, it was a Sheets station. I think that's how Sheets station. And I went in there to get me a drink. And when I went in there to get me a drink, I noticed there was no alcohol. Now, this is in Pittsburgh. There was no alcohol. And I went back to the car and I said, preach. I said, I think this is kind of unusual. He said, what? I said, in that station, they don't have beer. They don't have alcohol. He said, no, preacher. I said, so y'all don't have liquor in this town, this county? He said, no. I said, how can that be? He said, preacher, 100 years ago, Billy Sunday preached here. That man of God preached against liquor, and 100 years later, they weren't still selling liquor. I went back and I preached on the north side of Pittsburgh. And I give them that illustration, not dismissing, but that illustration. And a man come to me after the service. He said, preacher, up to 5 years ago, this county was a dry county because of Billy Sunday. Are y'all listening to me? Man, I've sat with the reapers. I've sat with the men of God through stories I've read, through the scriptures that I read. Yeah, man. I've sat with the reapers through sermons. I've read the sermons of J. Frank Norris. I've read the sermons of Oliver Green. I could tell you several places I've been around preaching. Amen. I'm sure you too, if you preached around a little bit, that people would come up after the service and they'd say, Brother Willis, I was saved on Oliver Green's ministry. I know in Virginia I had that experience. I know in Pennsylvania I had that experience. I got saved on the Oliver Green. They pitched the tent and we went to the tent meeting and glorious they got saved. And thousands of people were saved under the ministry of Oliver Green. And I've read his sermons. Amen. He preached them and thousands get saved. I preach them and nobody gets saved. Amen. Y'all laughing, y'all too. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to give you authority, man. Hey, the sermons these men preached where people got saved by the thousands. But what are we? We end up with little reapers, little gleaners. Amen. I mean, we get excited when one walks down the aisle on Sunday. Hey, when they preach, hundreds walk. Hey, thousands were saved. When we preach, we get excited, and you ought to get excited over one. Amen and amen. I just say we're following the reapers. We're gleaners. Amen. I sat with the reapers in services. Amen. I sat with Brother Roloff. I sat with Brother Roloff down in Culloden, Georgia at the camp meeting. You talk about electricity in the air. I'm telling you literally electricity in the air. Man, he was going through that time through the state of Texas. They were trying to lock him up. And at nighttime, these big boils was breaking out on him. And he'd have to sit in cold water. And he'd be a little bit late getting to the service. And he would come to those girls would be up there. Those girls would be up there saying, I care not today what tomorrow. And they'd be singing Living by Faith. And I'm going to tell you what, it was pretty good. And Brother Roloff would step through the side of the tabernacle. And you can call me crazy, but it was like electricity coming in the room. And he said, hey, girls, let's crank it up. Dear God, he'd go up another two octaves, and I'm telling you, it was on, friend. And he'd get out there and preach, pouring in the valley. And I sat in the service with Brother Roloff preaching, hey, pouring in the valley. Went to Corpus Christi, took my uncle to Corpus Christi, and I sat in the service with Brother Roloff preaching. And I'm going to tell you, thousands been saved under his ministry. I got to sit in the services with him. Hallelujah. I could never do anything like Brother Roloff. Amen. I could never do anything like these men I've mentioned. Amen. Because I'm not a reaper. I'm a gleaner. I've come behind them. Y'all help me, help me. I've sat in the service with Dr. Seitler. Oh, are you listening to me? I remember one night I was sitting in Tabernacle. And they were having a Sword of the Lord conference. And I remember I looked up there on the platform and Dr. Seitler was on this side and Dr. Lee Robinson was on that side. And I was I had just started preaching. So I don't know how this happened. But hey, they were singing those songs and Dr. Robinson was going to preach and Dr. Seitler was sitting over here and I'm sitting out there, I guess about a quarter of the way back on that side. And all of a sudden, I see Dr. Seitler look back there and say, and I'm thinking, he ain't talking to me. I mean, this place is packed and jammed. And he looked at me and said, and y'all don't laugh. Now, I'm not saying this to be funny. I looked behind me. And I looked back around. He said, I said, me? I remember walking up that. It'd take an hour to get up that pulpit. Yeah. And I walked up there and I said, Dr. Sutton, did you call me up here? He said, yeah, I want you to open up in prayer. I said, you want me to pray? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. I mean, he was very blunt. So I walked up to the pulpit. I closed my eyes. I don't know who I prayed to. I don't know what I said. Anybody listening? Is anybody listening? I'm trying to tell you what I did. I got to sit in the services with great men of God. But I ain't no reaper. I'm a gleaner. Is anybody listening? Amen and amen. Hey, I'm just simply saying, I've sat in services. I've sat in support of missionaries. Amen and amen. I've sat with missionaries. Amen. Somebody said missionaries come to meetings and feel second class. Oh, no, not with this preacher. You first class. If there's any classes, you first class and I'm second class. Hey, to sit in support every month with missionaries around the world, Brother Robbie, preaching the gospel and hundreds and thousands being saved. Amen and amen. I got one man went out of our church. I've told his story. I hope that I ain't boring you with it. We had one man go out of our church, went to Papua New Guinea. Went to a place that has never been a Baptist church since time began. I mean, in the history of time, there's never been a Baptist church in Kimby, West and New Britain. And he went there and preached the gospel. And literally, a Life Baptist church started a Life Baptist church. And that church runs 600. And out of that church, now this is out of St. Stephen. Hey, just a little place nowhere. A man went out of our church and went to New Guinea where there's never been a Baptist church and started Life Baptist church. That church runs 600. And out of that church, you started another church. And out of the Life Baptist Church, another church, and another church, and another church, and another. And now, in Papua New Guinea, there's over 30 churches out of that one church. Amen. Anybody listening? And we brought the pastor over here. And I sat down with the pastor at Life Baptist Church, which his church is out of our church. And he passed the 600, and I passed 100. And I asked him, I said, Pastor Samuel, I said, how much would you, if you got all them churches together, I said, because of Brother Lance Neal going there, how many people would be in the church on Sunday? He said, preacher, anywhere from 3,000 to 3,500. And he said, wait a minute, Brother Lance, and the preacher, I ain't saying I didn't do nothing. All I did was went and preach, and they just received the gospel. And Brother Lance said, now y'all don't fall out with this. He said, that church is so strong, if a woman wore a pair of pants up down, it was a member of that church. He said, they do church discipline on it. So it ain't no easy believism. Are you listening to me? If you did that, you wouldn't have a church. Is anybody listening? We brought him over to America and brought him in our church and he preached. And I said, Pastor Samuel, hey, 3,500 people saved and going to church. He said, oh, yes, Brother Willis, yes, Brother Willis. I said, man, the way you preach and y'all got 3,500. He said, oh, yes, Pastor, oh, yes. I said, well, why are we supporting you? You got 3,500 and we got 100. Why don't you support us? Oh, Pastor, off he went back eating my chicken, amen. Anybody listening? Hey, support of the missionaries. Brother Robbie, take my hat off. Brother Robbie and his wife have given their life to the view. Hey, have been threatened to the point. Hey, was about to die for the cause of Christ. And hey, I'm preaching and he's, I'm sitting with the reapers. Somebody help me, man. Hey, I'm a nobody, Brother Joy, from nowhere. But I've been able to sit down with people who've done it. Hallelujah. He ought to be preaching and I ought to be sitting there. I was in a meeting the other day, Brother Gene Rouse, and I had to get up and preach at the Rock of Ages conference they had the other day. And I'm sitting down there and they always do this to me. Anytime I get ready to preach, they start shouting, they start screaming, they start running. The service gets that high and they say, come on up, Brother Willis. Yeah. And then they'll ask me why I got heart trouble. Yeah. And so I was the next preacher to get up and they brought this family up from the Philippines and he starts telling about he's in the Philippines and he said, we're on this island, we look over that island, ISIS has done took over that island. And he said, ISIS is now infecting our island and they got his wife and put a gun to her head. And God intervened and delivered my wife. And they come up and said, but we're going back. Hey, man, I'm a little nobody from nowhere, but I've sat with the reaper's friend. Hallelujah. Hey, that girl from Moab. Hey, didn't know nothing about the God. Didn't know nothing about Naomi's God. But bless God, she met the Lord. And she's not only in charge, she's sitting with the reapers. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I'm a gleaner, but I'm sitting with them. Amen and amen. Hey, a little me, a little Moabite, a little nobody. Hey, their position, my privilege. I get to sit with them. Amen and amen. I'm the son of a town drunk. I'm not bragging on that. I'm just telling you, my daddy was the town drunk. But God passed by the Willis house one day. And got a little Moabite boy. Hallelujah. And saved him by his grace. And put him in the house of God. And now I'm the featured speaker. Somebody help me. Hey, I ain't only here tonight. I'm preaching tonight. Somebody else ought to be preaching. But I'm being able to sit in the house of God with men who've done great things. I ain't nobody from nowhere. Hallelujah. Y'all praying how I want it to get better. Amen and amen. Ain't what grace can do amazing? Ain't what the favor of God can do amazing? Amen. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible said, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reaping. Her hat was light upon the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Amen. Let me say something about, hey, reapers I talked about. Let me tell you something about the gleaners. Can I tell you, gleaners are determined and dedicated. Look back in chapter 1. Look back in chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodge, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee. I'll tell you what gleaners are. They determined and dedicated. Hey, I tell you, I just think this human. Wouldn't be hard to preach if every time you preach, 10 was coming down the aisle, or 50 was coming down the aisle, or 100 was coming out. But had to preach and preach and preach, and nobody comes down the aisle. That's what's hard. You got to be faithful. You got to be dedicated. You got to be determined to stay where you are and keep preaching and see nobody getting saved. Amen. Hey, thank God she's saved. She's steadfast. She's separated. Amen. She came behind. God made provisions for poor people. Amen. Leviticus chapter 19, Deuteronomy chapter 24. They left a little bit down there in the corners so they could get it. By the way, they had to work to get it. God didn't just give it to them. God didn't pick it up and take it up to the house. He said, you go down there and you'll get it. I like that kind of welfare program. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Yeah, I was raised on a farm. I was raised on a farm. And the combine couldn't get down in the low spots because it was boggy. You know what daddy say? Y'all go down there and get that corn out of them boggy spots. I can't take the combine down there. Amen. Hey, the combine run the big field. But my job was to go down there in the corner. So I'm used to being a gleaner. Anybody listening? You know what God said? He said, you did that when you were a boy growing up on the farm. Now I'm going to put you in the ministry, and that's what you're still going to do.
Amen. Yeah.
They don't bring the roll-off evangelistic ministry to St. Stephen's to have an evangelistic campaign. God put Alfred Willis over there. He put him over there in the backside and in the corner, down in the bottoms and down in the corner where the big combines don't run. Amen. Help me, church. What are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, hey, a little town we're in is 2,500 people. Let me say to us gleaners, thank God, number one, to us gleaners, there's more in the field. Amen. Hey, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm going to tell you, God's got you where you are because there's somebody there to reach. I don't care how big your town is. I don't care how little your town is. God has got you there because there's somebody there for you to reach. Just stay with it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know Luke chapter 5, they fished all night and caught nothing. You know John 21, they fished all night and caught nothing. You know there's 3 years between them two events. 3 years early in Luke chapter 5, they fished and caught nothing. Hey, 3 years later, they're back in the same lake, same boat, same net, and they're doing the same thing. What are you trying to say? I'm just simply saying, you just got to stay at it. Amen and amen. And finally he said, pick the net up and throw it on the right side. And he picked the net, wasn't catching that, put it on the right side and encompassed the multitude. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 5, you don't count them. In John chapter 21, it gives you a number. Luke chapter 5 is an evangelism. And John 21 is a pastor. Think it was 153. Didn't say nothing about the amount in Luke 5. But now he's a pastor. He's counting every head. Somebody help me. Somebody would walk into my office probably while I'm gone. They'd see a little sheet down there because we don't have it on the board. Somebody would walk in my office while I'm gone. They'd see a sheet over there and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They won't know what that is. That's where I sneak in my office and write down how many we have. Y'all help me, y'all help me. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say, hey, they just kept fishing. I preached that somewhere. I'm just telling you what a man told me. I preached that somewhere, and a man walked up to me, and he said, Brother Willis, he said, you know, they were fishing in a lake. I said, yeah. He said, do you know when they picked that net up and threw it on the other side? He said, basically, the net went back in the same place. He said the hole that he was fishing in on that side of the boat, well, there was no fish in it, so he put it on this side. But he said basically it was the same place because he was in a lake. I ain't got to explain that, do I? He said the hole that was empty when he changed sides, that same hole had fish in it. I have fished the holes of St. Stephen over and over and over. I said, God, ain't no fish in this pot. And you go knock on the door and they come and get saved. The same hole.
Yes, sir.
Dear God, where'd you come from, bro? Well, you come by my house. And I said, I done did that 10 times. Anybody listening? Hey, I had a man in my church. He was a hermit. Literally was a hermit. And I went and visited him and visited him and visited him and visited him. And I'm telling you, one day he called me. Well, his brother come to me. He said, preacher, I feel like you need to go by Bubba's house. I said, Brother Tim, I done went by Don's house. I grant you, I done been by there 2 dozen times. He said, I think you need to go by his house. I went by his house. He met me in the door. He said, he opened the door. He said, come in, preacher. I said, now this is unusual. He said, sit down. I sat down. He went and got a Bible off the shelf, handed me the Bible. He said, you know where that Bible come from? I said, not really. He said, you gave it to me. He said, one time you come by here and left me that Bible. He said, I've been reading that Bible. He said, I'm not watching television. I'm not watching pornography. He said, I'm so interested in that Bible, I want to get saved. And I led a hermit to Christ. He joined the church, become one of the best members we had. Hey, he wouldn't eat with nobody before he got saved. Now he's sitting in the fellowship hall, eating up all our food, amen. Call on to pray. Hey, how you pray? Oh, God, thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy. Every time you could tell what the end was going to be, thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy. I'm trying to tell you, there's still fish in that pond. You think you done fished that hole out, but God's got somebody that'll catch. Yeah, man. I just want to say, number one, hey, to us gleaners, they're mowing the field. Number two, to us gleaners don't forget. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought it and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And so the Bible said when she got what she got out of the field, when she gleaned, she went and gave it to her mother-in-law. Anybody listening? She didn't forget the one that brought her to Bethlehem, Judah. Hallelujah, amen. I'm glad, thank God, my wife stayed in the field. Hey, my wife got saved 3 years before I did. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I'm telling you what, the night she got saved, I thought to myself, I am in a trouble. I'm in trouble. She's raised in a Methodist church. Little Baptist church I was raised in had a revival. And the preacher come by and said, would y'all come to revival? And so I said, I reckon so. And so we went. And that night, the first time my wife ever heard the gospel, she stepped out and I walked down the aisle and got saved. And I thought when she's walking, I am in trouble now. And I'm telling you, for 3 years, our house, I'm telling you, it was a fight. It was a fight. It was a fight. She wanted to go for God. I wanted to go for the devil. I said, come on, honey, we going to the party tonight. No, I ain't going to no party. I said, you going to embarrass me? The friends are going to ask me, where am I? You tell them I got saved. I said, I ain't going to tell them that now. Anybody listening? But she stayed in the field. And she kept faithful to God. When I'd stay out all night and be drunk, they didn't know where I was. Hey, she stayed with God and kept fishing. Hey, thank God she brought me the bread. Amen. Hallelujah. When she's here tonight, I'd kiss her. Amen. I wrote a poem. I wrote a poem. Hey, back in Valentine's Day, here's what I said. We are not far away from Valentine's Day, but I have much to say. Before we get there, you are so dear. Every lock of your hair and your tender care. Tell me that I can't wait to get to that. To tell me, because I can't wait to have that wonderful date. This is why I wrote this poem, because our love is beyond the norm. Hallelujah. She was here tonight. I'd kiss her. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, that's the one that won me to God. Hallelujah. Hey, if it hadn't been for her, Philip wouldn't even be in the world. Why? Because our marriage was such a shamble, we weren't going to have no more children. But God saved her, and then God, she stayed with God, and God saved me. I said, let's have a preacher. Everybody asked me, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? I said, it's got to be a boy, because God don't call girls to preach.
Amen. That's
right. Amen. Is anybody listening?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, Red Gleaners, don't forget. Have you forgot the one who won you to God? You probably need to call him up tonight. Amen and amen. Could I give you this? Could I give you this? Could I give you this? Hey, Moody was a shoe salesman. Amen. Ended up being a reaper. But who was the man who was the gleaner? Some of y'all know. Most of us don't. His name is Kimberly. We hear about Moody. It was Mr. Kimberly that wanted him to God. Mr. Kimberly's name was Nevin Lights. Mr. Moody's the name had the big name, but it was the gleaner that got him to God. Somebody help me. Yeah, God, Reb, that's the best point I got. Ain't nobody said nothing. Mr. Kimberly, he's a shoe salesman. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, I can say this tonight, Brother Bronze. I'm always preaching on Brother Bronze. Brother, boys, that don't mean I'm slighting y'all. But Brother Bronze, his brother-in-law pastors a church up in North Carolina. I really thought I was at the wrong church. I got invited to North Carolina to preach. And it was something, the names were the same. And somebody knew building. So I thought I was going to a church I'd preached to before. And when I got there, it was not that church. And I pulled up on the grounds, Brother Barry. And I'm telling you, here's a monstrosity of a building. And so I said, Mama, I knew they'd build a new building, but I didn't know it was nothing like this. And so I said, well, this has got to be the place because this is the address they gave me. And the names were the same at one time. And Brother Travis knows all about that. So I got it, walked in, got my coat, walked on in. Everybody grabbed my hand. Never been there before. I walked in the foyer. They grabbed me. Hey, you the man of God? I said, yeah, I reckon so. They said, you come to preach? I said, yeah. They said, preach, preach, preach. I walked through the foyer. Everybody grabbed my hand. Preach, preach, preach. I said, dear, hey, that church runs 2,000. And they got me up there to preach. I said, they done made a big mistake. Well, long story short, I preached from up there, and I got invited back. First night I preached, one of the men in the church got saved. I mean, that thing shook up. And so we preached, then I got to go back and preach again. And then, long story short, they called us up and said, Brother Willis said, my brother-in-law's lost. He's strung out on drugs. Would y'all take him? And we said, yeah. And so Brian, this is Brother Brian. Brother, stand up just a minute, Brother Brian. Would you mind doing that, Brother Brian? I ain't trying to embarrass you, Brother. So Brother Brian, you would never meet a better fellow than Brother Brian. I mean, I'm telling you, he got a better personality than most of you preachers. So Brother Brian come to the home. Brother Brian had an injury when he was 16 years old. And, of course, you can see what happened. And so they put him on medication when he got hooked on drugs.
And so his life now for 30 years has been nothing but drugs and drugs and drugs and just an awful life. You can sit down, Brother Brian. But one time I preached a message about James chapter, a faith that works, and Brian got saved. Well, when I left there, after I preached that message, I had to go up the road and preach. And Brother Brian, this man I told you about, I preached for, me and him was preaching together in North Carolina. So they had me and him preaching together in North Carolina. And so I told him about Brian getting saved. Well, the building was so packed, you couldn't get back to his wife. He said, I got to go tell my wife about her brother getting saved. He said, I can't get back there with all this crowd. He said, I'll have to tell after church. But I got him preached, Brother Brown. And when I got him preached, I told about a man getting saved named Brian. And his wife was in the bed, and she told him, said, that's my brother! And she come running, and she said, I'm dignified. I don't act like this, but that's my brother. Now listen to this. I didn't come to tell you all this. So Brian's going to graduate about 2 weeks ago. He graduated from the program. Hey, for the first time in 30 years, he's been clean for 90 days. 30 years of drugs, but now he got saved and he's clean. So listen to this, Brother Ron. So his brother said, if Brian graduated, I'm coming to see him graduate. I'm thinking that on Sunday, you're going to leave 2,000 people to come see your brother graduate? Sure enough, come riding up. I told Brother Jeff, he's coming. I said, you tell him if he comes, bring his Bible because he's preaching. And so he showed up, walked in. I said, now, Brother Gammons, I said, you could be preaching now. He said, preacher, I'm coming to hear you preach. I said, you think I'm crazy? You could think this is your smallest Sunday school class you preaching to. That man got up, I am telling you, he preached the house down. Amen. What are you trying to say? I'm a little nobody, but I'm sitting with the reapers. I walked up to him, I told him, I said, Brother Gammons, I said, listen to me now. I know you pastor that big church up there, and we small potatoes, but listen to me. This is our fifth Sunday, and here's what we do. We go and just go to, we get out on 50 Sunday. Now don't y'all fall out with me on this. I said, on fifth Sunday, here's what we do on fifth Sunday. We go to church and we start at 10:30 and we go till we get out and then we have a big dinner and we don't come back. I don't care if you like it or not. And so I told Brother Gammons, I said, Brother Gammons, listen to me now. I said, do we small potatoes? Are you up there in the big time? He said, preacher, I don't want to hear. I said, you the big time, but I want you to preach. Now listen to me when I tell you, don't worry about no time. We're not on no times. This is fifth Sunday. We ain't coming back tonight. You just preach till you can't preach no more. And his wife looked at me and she said, do Brother Willis, don't tell him that. I said, you sound like my wife. And then he preached the house down. What you're trying to say? I'm a little gleaner, but I'm sitting with the reapers. Yes, hey, a little boy grew up in a little town with a drunken daddy, fussing, cussing, fighting, saved. Hey, I'm in the house of God, sitting with the reapers. Magnify the grace of God. Magnify the favor of God. Hallelujah. Hey, there's more in the field. Don't forget. Hey, by the way, let me give you this and I'm about through. Hey, amen. But gleaners are not forgotten. Look at chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. And she went and came to glean the field after the reapers and her hap. I like that, don't you? Was the light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz and the servant that was set over the reapers, who is that damsel? Hey, I won't tell us gleaners. God ain't forgot about us. Hey, she's down there in a little part of the field, amen. I'm not talking about the main field now. I'm talking about over there in the corners. And old boy has it looking over there saying, who is that damsel right there? So she sure is pretty. Y'all listen to me? Hey, wasn't it a good day when God looked that way? And wasn't nothing pretty about us. And God looked our way anyway. You know why? We happened to light in the right place. You know, I read this. I think I got this from Stinney Ballou. I wish I didn't have to tell that. I wish I could say I got this. But I, you know what I read? You know what I read? You know the difference between here and there? A cross. Hey, you take away the T, you got hair and hair. But if you put the T in there, you got there and hair. You know the difference between here and there? A cross. You know how we got from here to there? You know we got from here to there? The cross. Amen. You know how I got from Moab to the house of God? A cross. You know how I got from St. Stephen's to here? A cross. Lord, I wish Brother Stanley hadn't told everybody that. Well, hey, we're not forgotten. She not only got a meal, she got a mate. A rich mate. Is anybody listening? Hey, this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I inserted it. I could tell you girls how to get a husband. Everybody's perked up now. Be good to your future mother-in-law. She was good to her mother-in-law. Man, I don't even think y'all got that. Her hap was to light on a certain place. Amen. Then look in verse 16. And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You think God's still dropping little handfuls of purpose for us? Hey, if you stay in the field where God puts you, God will send you some handfuls of purpose. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. I'm almost through listening to this, amen. God has not forgotten you. Hey, God has got His eyes on your ministry. And it might not be bringing in the multitudes, and it might not be bringing in the masses, amen. And your name might not be in lights, but I'm telling you one thing. God knows where you are. Hallelujah to God. Hey, Lord, this little town, I'm telling you, church, I'm going to confess to you tonight. God sent me to a little town on the backside of nowhere, and I am telling you, somebody said, preacher, you ought to be in a bigger town. You could have a bigger church. No, I'm right where God wants me to be. I've been there for 36 years, and I'm telling you, I've seen some barren days. But thank God I didn't leave. You know why? Because I'm where God wants me, and that protects me. I might be in a bigger town and not have the hand of God's protection, but I'm where God wants me, and I'm protected. St. Stephen's is not a place you'd pick out to build a nice big church. But it's where God put me. And I'm happy. Amen and amen. Hey, we ought to be faithful. I give you this and I'm through. Gleaners ought to be faithful. Look in chapter 2, verse 11, and we're going home. And Boaz answers unto her, it hath fully been shown me all thou hast done for my mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not. Sound like a missionary. And the Lord will recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Notice that we just be faithful where God put us. Amen and amen. I hope you don't take this wrong. I hope you don't take this wrong. Over there, I'm a little glean over there from nowhere. Do you know I preached to 2 people at church? And I preached to over 1,000. Now that sounds braggadocious, but let me give you the answer to that. I said that one time in a meeting. Dr. Clarence Stanfield was there, and Dr. Clarence Stanfield come up to me. He's an old mountain preacher. And he said, preacher, you know why you preached to over 1,000? I said, not really. He said, because you was willing to preach to 2.
Yes.
I done told this story. Y'all probably tell it better. I went to church one night and 2 people showed up. I mean, no, none of the church members come. 2 people showed up and both of them sat on the back row. And y'all go laugh when I say this, but it's the honest God truth. One had just killed his daddy. And he brought his brother to church. And they sat on the back row. And my wife was sick. My daughter was sick. Philip was sick. And everybody was sick. Evidently, the whole church was sick. It was a sickening situation, I can tell you. And I got up. What do you do with 2 visitors on the back row and none of your people there? And that's been years ago. I got up and preached. Hey, you ain't gonna ask them to sing a special. Anybody got a special? Yeah, I killed my daddy when I was high. Somebody help me.
I'm talking about some rough. Philip will tell you this now. I'm talking about the rough. You know, in your towns, you got rough. You got families that are known to be rough. This is the roughest. I'm not trying to stretch that. I'm telling you, these people would shoot. He killed his own daddy. He mowed him down with a gun. And he got out of prison and come to our church. And he's sitting on the back row. Now, you think you go ask him to sing a special? How about y'all come take up the offering? Man. I preached to two people. Y'all ain't had me. I preached to two people. And I like Brother Stanfield said. He said, if you was willing to preach to two, God will let you preach to 1,000. Ha ha! Little gleaner. Nowhere. God pulled him out of Moab. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. Hey, listen to this. I was preaching in the mountains. I was preaching. West Virginia is where I was. And I got through preaching. And a man walked up to me and he said, Brother Willis? I said, yeah. He said, I've been back in these mountains all the many years. He said, I got a little church over there on the mountain. Well, you know how they talk. I'm not running that down. I like the way they talk. But he talked slow. He said, I got a little church over there on the other side of the mountain. He said, you know, I was thinking about getting you to come preach for me. I said, well, man, that'd be great. He said, but I ain't got but 10. I said, 10 people? He said, yeah. He said, well, I hate to ask you to come preach to 10. This is what he said, Brother Barry. This is what he said. He said, if I can get it up next year, when I get up about 15, I'm going to ask you to come preach for me. You know what? I'd pay them to go preach.
Yes, sir.
A man that'll stay in a holler. Ain't that what you call it? A man that... Not nobody holler up there, amen. You round them curves, you holler, friend. Hey, a man that'll stay in a holler and preach to 10 people, he's a king to me. I'd pay him to go preach. God has got his eyes on the gleaners that will be faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. And not only that, he told him to stay to the end. Look at verse 23. He told him not to switch fields. Look at verse 22. And he said, go out with the maidens that they meet thee not in another field. Don't go to another field. So she kept fast by the maidens. Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest. Hey, stay with it. Just stay where you are. Hallelujah. I know sometimes circumstances do move preachers, but I'm telling you, we too quick to move. You better know if God sent you there and stay till God tells you to leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, can I give you this and I'm through? Hey, gleaners can be fruitful. The Bible said God gave him some handfuls on purpose. Is anybody listening? Amen. Hey, this Moabite stranger with her. Amen. She was fruitful. Hallelujah. Notice this and I'm through. The story begins with poverty and ends with plenty. The story begins bad and ends being blessed. The story begins with a Moloch God and ends up with a mighty God. The story ends with sacrificing to Chemosh and ends with a saving Christ. The story gives giving your son to their God, and on the other hand, he gave his son to us. Hey, it started off with her being a Gentile, and now she's a gleaner. Hey, started off with death and ends in delight. Started off with a funeral and ends in a field. Started off with barrenness and ends in being a bride and having babies. Amen. Just stay with God. All of that hinges on being a gleaner. Stay faithful. That's what I'm here to tell you tonight. Stay faithful. You know Ruth is the 8th book in the Bible? It's the number of new beginning. Hey, God can give you a new beginning if you just stay faithful. Do you know Ruth? Do you know the book of Ruth is between Judges and 1 Samuel? Judges is the decline of the nation. Samuel is the setting up of the kingdom. Hey, 1 Samuel is setting up of a false king called, he could be the Antichrist, called Saul. I know y'all Bible students know all this, but let me act like y'all don't know it. Hey, it ends up between Ruth is between the book of Judges and the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel is the false king. 2 Samuel is the real king, David. And right smack dab between the decline of the nation, Judges, and the setting up of the kingdom, hey, the real king sets Ruth, a Jew and a Gentile, in a field reaping. That's the church. And I'm in it.
And I'm not a reaper, but I'm a little, got a little portion over there on the backside of Lodi Bar that I've been gleaning for years and years. Amen. Stay at it. Just stay at it. Hallelujah. I'm through. Are y'all listening? I've sat with the reapers. I've sat with them in the scriptures. I've sat with them in stories. I've sat with them in sermons. I've sat with them in services. I've sat with them in support. But thank God one day, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to sit down with them in a supper. And I'll probably be, that's Jesus on that end. I'm all the way on this end. Anybody listening? And Peter and Paul sitting here, and I'm going to say, what's your name, sir? He's going to say, Paul. I'm going to say, you are the Apostle Paul? Oh, yeah. I said, you the one I read about in the Bible, that all them people got saved, all them churches got started? You are the Apostle Paul? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm the Apostle Paul. He said, what's your name? I said, my name is Alfred Willis. I ain't never heard of you. What's your name, sir? My name is Peter. You are Peter? You the man I read about that preached that one sermon after getting right with God and thousands of people got saved? That's right, that's right. What's your name? My name's Alfred Willis. I ain't never heard of you. But down on the other end, hey, a man named Jesus stands up. And he says, is Alfred in the room? I'm going to say, yes, I'm here. I'm here. He said, thank you for being faithful. Just stay faithful, stay faithful. We ain't got long before we sit down at the supper. Let's stand, let's pray. Praise God. Father, bless your word, we pray. Thank you for this great meeting. Thank you for the great preaching. God, help us to stay faithful. We do believe the marriage supper is right around the corner. Help us to stay true. In Jesus' name, amen.